Okay, welcome to our Aging Well Together show. I am super excited for today's show, but also excited about how we're recording today's show. We are preparing for what is potentially Snowmageddon. And so, for our first time, it took us 69 shows on Aging Well Together, but we are doing a recording not in the studio to keep us warm and cozy and safe. So, hopefully, it will go well. And so, listeners, if it sounds a little different, that's why. We're trying to be good, safe, stay off the road, pre-snowy people. But I know our show today is going to be another super helpful show. We are super excited to welcome back Risa Hanau to the show. Risa is a licensed clinical social worker with AthoraCare Collective, the hospice and palliative care provider in our community. Or one of a few. We are very fortunate to have a few wonderful providers in our community. You may remember Risa was on our first show of 2025 to talk about grief and loss around the holidays. It was a wonderful show, so make sure to go and listen to that previous recording. She is joined today with Laura Foy, a care navigator for AthoraCare. And the two of them are going to tell us all about an important new program through Medicare, the GUIDE program, Guiding and Improved Dementia Experience. This will be such a nice companion show to our last show, where we had the folks on for the Duke Dementia Family Support Program. And I'm looking at Risa and Laura. They didn't know that we had that on. So we've really had now two back-to-back shows about different sorts of dementia supports for individuals and their caregivers. And so I love that. I am super excited for all we will learn together. But as always, before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout out to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. You can catch our show, rain or snow, every Thursday from 2 to 3 on 103.5 FM, or you can stream us live through WCOMFM.org. As I always share, the Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderfully helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Besides being our wonderful sponsors and expert guests on the show, and we have some really fun shows lined up for the spring. On top of all of that, the show, thank you, Marilyn. Each week they post our shows on the Orange County's website. So if you want to catch up on any of our past shows, as we like to say, our podcasts, you can go on to the website www.orangecountync.gov/aging. That's www.orangecountync.gov/aging on the website. Not only can you find links to our Aging Well Together show, but you can find a range of local Orange County aging resources there. It is such a wonderful website. If you have not gone on, be sure to go on and take a look at all of the resources there. And if you find that you have questions and you want to go old school and pick up the phone, you can do that and call the Orange County Department on Aging at 919-968-2070. And if you have any questions about our shows, or if you want to suggest a topic for a person or an organization or a topic, please feel free to email me. I've got a fun email address. It's really simple, it's just long. It is agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And Laura, I'm pretty sure that's how we first connected. I think you may have emailed, she's nodding to me. You emailed on to be on the radio show. And before she could even be on the radio show, I was like, wait, I'm also with the North Carolina Serious Illness Coalition. Come to that group. So she didn't realize she was going to get a twofer for all of the all of the opportunities to share information about Guide. I don't know with my editing if you're going to be able to hear the first few moments of the Carrboro bass band, the Robert Bradford Quartet. Hopefully you'll hear it at the end of the show. We'll see how editing goes, but this is a wonderful band and we usually have our opening and closing music. So as always, gratitude to them. Because of our quirkiness today, we are not joined with my fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed, and we miss her and hope she is staying nice and warm. Alicia is an amazing, dedicated community volunteer and a wellness instructor, and she is host of the show that comes on right after hours, Afternoon Talk with Alicia. So thank you so much to Alicia. Hope you're warm somewhere. And then lastly, as for me, I'm Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, including today, given the snowy weather coming up. And at 54, I'm focusing on my own changing needs. So I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. And I am super invested in learning more about this program, the Medicare Guide program, because I have been hearing about it for, I feel like, over a year now, and I'm so glad it's in our area. So I'm gonna stop talking in just a moment because I really wanna turn it over and welcome our guests. I am so happy that Risa and Laura are here from AthoraCare Collective. They're gonna tell us all about the Medicare Guide program, guiding an improved dementia experience. But first, welcome back, Risa, and welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Laura, Risa's already used to this, but before we get all into your work business, I want to get into your personal business, if you don't mind. Risa, why don't you start us off and just remind our audience just a little bit about you and where you're from and how you got interested in working in the hospice community and maybe the dementia, since this is also about dementia, however you want to remind people of you.
Well, there's a lot there. Thank you. So I grew up in the suburbs of Philadelphia and went to college and graduate school in Philadelphia. And after I had my newly minted Master of Social Work degree, moved to Greensboro and became a social worker on an oncology unit. And I made a lot of hospice referrals over those years. And I, after a couple of years, transitioned to work at a hospice organization. And that is what I have done since 1993. I have done all sorts of different things over the years, but concurrently had aging parents. And my father, actually, the anniversary of his death, the 10th year anniversary of his death, was actually just Monday. And he had a significant course of illness with dementia, along with some other things. So I had that reality of walking the walk as a professional and seeing our hospice caseload really switch from a lot of cancer patients being our primary diagnosis to increasing numbers of dementia patients. And then in my own family, dealt with it as well. So it is something that, if we have not dealt with it personally or professionally, most of us will. And so wonderful to be able to have this conversation.
And it's wonderful to have you back. We became best friends on the last show, and I
Right.
was just blown away with your sort of, not sort of, with your continued decades of compassion and dedication to what is, as I always say, bringing light to what can be very dark topics, and the fact that you have found it so meaningful, and I know emit that joy to others, even in a more complicated time. So thank you. I'm so glad you're back.
Yes.
And Laura, you've also had a bit of a path, I know. Share a bit about your background and where you're from and how you got interested in working for AthoraCare and then moving into dementia.
Yeah, absolutely. So, initially, I grew up in the Midwest, but I've been here for close to 20 years now. Professionally, my background is in communications, but my kind of work focus changed when I had my son who had some medical challenges. He was born with a genetic disorder, and so I left the professional world and became a full-time caregiver to him. So, Through that process, I gained a lot of experience and exposure to care management, home health, nursing, and ultimately hospice. So my son Henry was actually on hospice with AthoraCare, and we were just taken aback by the incredible support and the team that provided us care and those very challenging moments. And so that's what led me to come to work for them. I wanted to be a part of that team that delivered that exceptional care to families in the most difficult of times. And so it's really a heartwarming journey for me to be a part of these difficult times that these families are going through that we're serving, and I very much identify with them and empathize with them. So I'm excited to be part of their care journey.
The feels that you two give, I am just in awe. And Laura, I cannot imagine the pain and intensity. And I cannot think of a better way to honor and love on AthoraCare for the support they gave to you and to Henry. That was your son's name, and I want to honor
Yes.
him there. And so the fact that talk about like loving an organization so much that then you joined them to be able to support others through that. You are just the kindest people. I'm so sorry we're not in person. And this is our second time, Laura. You and I have done interviews over Zoom, and I have such a need to hug you, and it's driving me crazy because I know you've been through a lot, and the fact that now you channel that energy to help other families is amazing. And so I know we're going to talk about the Medicare Guide program, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask about this, but I do think it might be helpful for our listeners to just have a general sense of what AthoraCare does, because you even changed the name, and the fact that you're AthoraCare Collective means there's a collective, I assume, of resources and services. So can one of you share just the big picture for our listeners of all the ways they can work with AthoraCare?
Sure. So I love that you pick up on the collective. So if we think about AthoraCare, it's about people being the author of their story. And we all have a story. I have a story. Laura has a story. You have a story. We each have a story. And we might have a common experience, common diagnosis, but we have a unique story. So AthoraCare Collective is about people telling their story at a particular point in their life when they might be faced with a diagnosis, a loss. And so that collective represents all of the services that are available through our nonprofit organization. So AthoraCare Collective, yes, we have a hospice program for adults and children. We have a palliative care program, which is for people who might be earlier in an illness process, maybe still getting very aggressive care and having some sort of suffering, physical, emotional, spiritual. We also have, under this umbrella of integrated health services, not only palliative care, but we have primary home-based care. So if somebody might need a physician that could come to the home, we are developing a program where that will be available. We are having home health services. We are in the process of developing our home health program to be able to meet people as early in whatever health journey they might be experiencing. And that also includes this guide program. So some people might be able to benefit from a number of our programs at the same time. And people may also transition from one program to another program, recognizing that we have bereavement services available for those served by AthoraCare Collective and also for community members, for adults and for children. And then we do a lot of community education because part of that collective is wanting people to know to plant that seed that should a need arise, you have some reference point. You remember, you've heard a show, you heard about a program, and you remember Authoricare Collective and go to our website, give us a call, and find out. You don't need to know what program you might qualify for. Just tell us what's going on and let us figure it out.
I love that. I do, clearly the community organizer in me loves the word collective, but I do love that you are it would have been enough to just be hospice, but the fact that you have this full wraparound of services, hospice, palliative care. I didn't realize about the primary care, the home health services, and I know we need to give a shout out to Cheryl. I always pronounce her last name wrong. I'm sorry. W Wink.
Wink,
Okay.
Carol Wink, yes.
I thought, Cheryl, if you're listening, and Cheryl helps to bring it together and does so much out in the community. So I'm glad you brought in that community piece. And I know when I first met Laura and saw her title, it said Care Navigator IHS. And I had to look up, I'm like, what does IHS stand for? And so I'm glad you mentioned integrated health services because there's a lot that you integrate in. I'm sorry, but it is, thank you so much for sharing about the wide range of services. And I'm not sure how you want to start the story. And Laura, this is probably you, about how did it come to be? For you can either first talk about what the guide program is, and then it's a unique national program, and I'm curious how it came to Authoricare. So, however the story makes sense to tell it, since we were talking about honoring stories, share the story of the Medicare Guide program.
Sure. So Medicare launched the GUIDE program, which stands for Guiding an Improved Dementia Experience, just last July. So this is a brand new 8-year pilot program. And it was developed to essentially assess whether providing enhanced services to dementia patients could reduce emergency department visits, hospitalizations, nursing home admissions, because oftentimes, historically, we found that there's increased occurrences of these, ER visits and nursing home admissions, all related to persons living with dementia. So ideally, the goal of the GUIDE program is to reduce the cost of these unfortunate circumstances for the families by providing them enhanced care that focuses on not only care management and support, but also ideally improves the quality of life for the person living with dementia, as well as the caregiver. And I think that's one of the strengths of this program, is that it's not just focused on the person living with dementia, but the person that's also providing care to them.
Which is such a huge issue. And as a family caregiver and as a caregiving advocate through the North Carolina Caregiving Collaborative, seeing this importance and the recognition of the role, as I say and others say, caregivers are the backbone of our healthcare system and our long-term care system. And seeing programs intentionally include caregivers makes me so happy. I'm sorry, continue with the story.
No, absolutely. Because oftentimes caregivers have no idea when they're thrown into this role what to expect. And so they are, scattered and trying to support their loved one, and trying to manage all these doctor's appointments. And then you've got the caregiver who's not only losing their spouse or loved one, losing their sense of autonomy, but the caregiver themselves is, because their whole world changes. So yeah, it's a very neat approach. It is an 8-year pilot program, and things that were initially started are still being adapted. So policies that were put into place initially, some of them have changed. And so while this program only encompasses certain insurances at this point, maybe in time, as the program goes on, it will open itself up to more people.
Well, and I know we'll get into the services in a moment, but my mind's already almost, the caffeine's kicking in and it's like shooting all these questions. Why, how do I put it? The fact that this is based in a hospice as opposed to in a hospital system or in primary care. Is it based throughout the country in hospice communities, or how is it decided what level of care? Because folks living with dementia and getting Medicare services, that can happen in your doctor's office, that can happen. Is there a reason that they said it makes sense to have this embedded within a hospice and palliative care group?
Actually, Medicare did not say what type of organization, only that the organization needed to have a history or a track record of providing care for those with dementia. So the reality is that a hospice organization, an area agency on aging, a rural health department, any organization that had a track record of taking care of and actually submitting claims through Medicare for those with dementia had the opportunity to apply to be a guide provider. So for TheraCare Collective, it made sense for us because we care for so many people with dementia and know the impact on their caregivers. And so we said, yes, we want to apply for this. And organizations were able to apply either to begin as what was known as a new program for starting July of 2024. And then others applied and will be coming online July of 2025. So we actually shout out to Julie O'Neill and our office director of education, did an unbelievable application, and we were accepted. So it was a matter of being, wanting to do it and then applying, being accepted. So not all guide providing organizations are hospice-based organizations.
Got it. And first of all, yeah, I want to give a shout out. Is it Julie you just said that applying for this is a federal initiative. So I don't that's like the craziest thing, and especially this week aside with federal funding, but just the specificity required and the just administrivia and the intensity. But so that's helpful. So basically organizations had to show they had the capacity and the experience to be able to provide coordinated ongoing care management, know how to bill, know how to work with individuals experience dementia and their caregivers. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. How many, I know, and soon we will get into, we've got plenty of time, soon we'll get into the services, but how many this is a pilot, which is always an interesting word. It's like pilots and demonstration projects. There's a little something experimental about it. How many guide programs do you know are there throughout North Carolina or throughout the nation? This is our, we haven't done sexy stats in a while. We used to do a fun facts and sexy stats part. Do you have any stats for us?
So in North Carolina, currently, there's only 15 organizations providing guide. As Risa said, there's more that are expected to launch in July of this year. In terms of the Orange County area and surrounding areas, it looks like TheraCare and only one other organization are approved to provide the guide service at this time.
Got it. Okay. That's helpful to know. And one other tangent. I think it's my own, and I say this because if I have this thought, our listeners may have this thought as well. I work with a lot of individuals with dementia, and then I'm quite familiar with hospice and palliative care through my own experiences with my parents and those of the individuals and families I work with. I didn't automatically make the connection between dementia and hospice and palliative care. To me, I thought more about a physical, not the dementia is not physical, so excuse how I'm going to mess this up, but I think about folks that may have a different terminal issue, of which dementia is also part of it, or that the dementia, I guess, is so far along, which is
Right.
true. I do have folks where it is so far along that then hospice and palliative care, but I hadn't made that link. Normally, there's a physical manifestation that can happen through dementia. And then, so I'm going to stop rambling there because I think you see what my question is, that when I talk with folks with dementia and think about their range of support, depending on their care level, I haven't always suggested hospice and palliative care, and I'm wondering if I should be.
Well, so Medicare gives us some guidelines that says what might a person with dementia as their primary diagnosis look like to be eligible for hospice. So whatever type of dementia, and we know that there are many, we're talking about somebody who is very far progressed in their dementia process. So we're talking about somebody who probably is bedbound, very limited mobility, probably having difficulty swallowing, only speaking a certain few number of words, not necessarily recognizing people, maybe having frequent infections. So we know that really dementia is the death of the brain, right? The brain is dying, and so it is the end stage of that process.
And thank you for
That,
clarifying that. So it's still that
yeah.
assumption of, or the thought that we're at that terminal place. I don't know if they still
We,
say the expectation probably within 6 months or.
yes, so
Okay, that
we
helps.
are saying to a physician, would you be surprised if this person dies in the next 6 months and they are not getting any aggressive care? We know sadly for dementia, there is none. And we also look at the total person. So if I think about my father, he had dementia as his primary diagnosis. But he had congestive heart failure, he had kidney failure, he had diabetes. And so while the dementia might not be as far along, if the heart disease is far progressed, if other, so we're looking at an entire person, but dementia absolutely is a very increasingly frequent hospice eligible diagnosis, and we look to try to specify what type when we can.
I really appreciate it. And it's funny, given I think about this every day, that as we know, dementia is a journey and is on a continuum. And so thank you for putting that in context for me and for our listeners of this is for when we're really at that end stage, what we would consider the more terminal stage of dementia. And that would make sense as I think about some of the folks that I have that when hospice gets pulled in. So it is still connected at that very end. There was just a part of it in the beginning that I'm like, so many people have dementia. So how early can they start the guide program? That's all right.
Right. Guide a whole lot earlier than hospice.
Got it. All right. Well, then let's, with no further ado, because I feel like we've sort of set up, the sound machine, Alicia's going to be so mad. It's in the other room. I could be doing drum roll, please. Tell us, now that we kind of heard the story, it's a pilot program, who's doing it, the general sense. What is the guide program? What are the services that are offered? And then we'll get into eligibility. So, Laura, I think this is a good question for you.
Sure. So, for people that are not familiar with it, I sort of describe it as a dementia care management program. So that entails an array of services from caregiver support and education. So helping them to understand and how to navigate different behaviors associated with dementia as they occur. If there's a need for respite care to free up the caregiver and take some of that burden off of them, we facilitate those referrals with some of our community partners. There's also, as part of the assessment process, we take a pretty comprehensive medical history. So, Heather, as you were talking, or Risa was talking about, it's not always just the dementia diagnosis. There's other underlying diseases that a person is living with. And so, developing a care plan that is tailored to the individual that sort of encompasses their all of their issues that they are facing medically. And so then all of these services are provided by someone like myself, who's a care navigator. And how the process looks is we verify an individual's insurance. We get a little bit of a kind of a preliminary story about some of the challenges they're facing. And then from there, we set up a time to do an assessment visit, whether that's at the individual's home, if they're living in a memory care facility, assisted living, independent living. So, yeah, this program is not just specific to individuals living at home. I
That
have.
is super helpful. You saw my whole I know this radio
Yep.
show, they can see me, and my whole face was like, oh, I again. And this is like the third time we've looked into it. I still hadn't caught that it's not just for folks living at home, since so many of the folks I work with are in or looking at assisted living or memory care, did not realize it connects with them. Okay, go on. I will have follow-up already for that.
Yeah, and it's also shown a lot of benefit for those that are living in an assisted living or independent living facility because, oftentimes the staff is stretched thin. There's a lot of turnover. So for people we are able to align to the guide program, we can take some of the extra stress off of the staff members in the assisted living facility or independent living facility. By, being another advocate for the individual living with dementia and, sort of a go-between person between their, primary care doctor, their specialist, what have you. We've also gone in and provided a lot of dementia education to facilities through our virtual dementia training, which is a patented program that basically offers a simulation of what a person living with dementia experiences. So studies were done that analyzed what they see and hear. And so it's a pretty powerful program where an individual gets to go through the process with, headphones on that simulate what the individual with dementia is hearing, all these loud, chaotic
I've done
noises
those,
muffled.
what's it called, the aging sensitivity training, and all right, and the, okay, go on, sorry, yes,
So through the
putting on the
virtual dementia.
glasses, sorry, I'm interrupting because I'm trying to give our listeners, so you do these things to sort of make it either look at or the binocular vision, like you just do things with your senses. Sorry, go
It's
on.
like an experiential program. It's sometimes we used to call it like a walking a mile in my shoes.
Yes.
So this is the dementia experience, and yeah.
By the way, best training I've ever had was those walking in my shoes, the experience, aging experience, and then also a dementia related one. It really, you cannot understand it until you experience it. And then all of a sudden you have a completely different appreciation. So I know I've stopped us there, but listeners, if you have a way to do one of these simulations, they're really, or look it up on the internet how to create your own. It's fascinating. Okay, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, to speak to what you were saying, Heather, in terms of giving listeners a better idea, the virtual dementia training, they wear the goggles that that mimic, macular degeneration as well as loss of peripheral vision. We ask them to complete a series of tasks. They have gloves on their hands where the thumb is sewn together with the index finger to sort
I'm
of
showing things.
simulate.
Yeah, I'm showing things when you did the tongue thermometer in a glove, so you can't bend your hands. Sorry, we really need a TV show so people can see like the props we're throwing. Sorry, continue. We like to have fun here on this show.
So it's very it can be a very emotional thing for people that go through the virtual dementia training, especially if they find themselves in situations where they've lost all patience for what's going on with their loved one. And so this really gives them a much better perspective of what that person is dealing with and kind of shines a light on showing them how to be more empathetic and understanding to the situation.
So I love all of the training. So is it it is support and training. Is there direct service provision, or does that connect through their other? Because I love how you called it the dementia care management. I almost, while I know guide is like fun and creative marketing, I actually love dementia care management program. Like that is, that to me, maybe that is just super clear. How do then people connect with actual services? So are you going in and helping the individual and their caregiver understanding the range of resources, or else are you also saying, okay, you're going to need, 10 hours of care a day, and let's make sure you have that.
Sure. So, obviously, every situation is different, and I'll talk a little bit about a experience going through currently with someone on my caseload who her financial situation changed. Someone else was managing her finances while she was in assisted living, and that person had some of their own health issues and. Long story short, bills were not being paid. So this individual had to move out of the assisted living facility back to her home where she's got no family. And so in that situation, she was very overwhelmed. While she's in early stages of dementia, she has no one there with her on a daily basis after she's lived in an assisted living facility for a year where people have helped her with everything. So, when she moved back home, I went out to her house. We kind of did a safety assessment of the home. She has a history of falls. So, looking at ways to navigate her condo safely, we moved some furniture around. She struggles to manage her medications. That's been a huge stressor for her since she's come home. So we've since lined up a bubble packaging pharmacy that delivers to her home. We've lined up Meals on Wheels. Shout out to Meals on Wheels on Durham, of Durham for supporting her. So it just really depends on the individual's needs and what they're presenting. Obviously, a situation where there's a caregiver present looks very different. And so the services we provide then are different as opposed to someone who only has themselves, they're only looking after themselves
Yeah,
essentially.
my heart is breaking for that situation, and not to brainstorm that one, but it makes me wonder if and when, well, things will get more complex. If and when things get so complex that she needs to be in a environment that no longer would be assisted living, is the issue that, like, do you then connect with social services to explore Medicaid based on medical need if and when a skilled nursing is needed? I know, right, there's an issue that there's all these spend down issues, so you can't, it's harder to get Medicaid for assisted living, but you can have the spend down issue without getting, so is that the thing that you're kind of paying attention, but at some point would you bring in, Risa looks like she's ready to jump in, at some point do you bring in like DSS and say,
The social work part of my brain is kicking in. I think so. If we look at the guide program, the way it is designed, it gives us time frames, benchmarks, tools, that we are to be doing reassessments and making sure that we are meeting the needs not only of that person and their caregiver, but also the data collection desires of the guide program in terms of is somebody progressing? Are their needs changing? And then we have the opportunity to figure out what each individual needs, like Laura said. So, if it's a referral to Department of Social Services, if it's an issue where we want to, be in consultation with their physician, if it's a situation where maybe they need other services like home health because they need physical therapy. So, the beauty of, the guide program is that it puts us in connection with people that have untold needs, and then we get to sort of go layer by layer and then progress with them with what their needs are and as their needs change. So the guide program is set up with the acknowledgement that people are going to progress in their illness,
Yes.
but we then have the opportunity to, through those assessments, say, oh, now, this person is no longer safe in the home. Is it something that, DSS, Department of Social Services, do we need help? Do we have to explore guardianship? Is it please, so it's really, Laura and the other care navigators have the opportunity to ongoingly create that individualized plan of care because we know every day brings something different. And so there's the framework within Guide, and then there's the individual needs of the people.
Love that. Thank you so much. And I guess as I'm looking at Laura's title right now, as a care navigator, again, care management to me is a lot is clear, but also the care navigator term is probably the most perfect term. You are literally helping them navigate the complexity of their care and what's going on with them. So before I start asking more like random eclectic questions about the sides of it, I want to make sure we're kind of staying on the main part of it. So who is eligible for it? And my mind did go to, and how long do they get to stay on it? As you just said, there is an expectation of a progression in illness. And so I am curious, who gets into it? And then are you always in it? Have you won the golden ticket that someone's going to be helping you till the end? Or how does it work?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I'll say that this to participate in the guide program is completely voluntary, and it does not require a doctor's order. So anyone can refer themselves, their loved one, their neighbor, and anyone can refer. In terms of eligibility, the big thing right now is they have to have traditional Medicare as their primary payer. So Part A and B. And
Yep.
as I work with families, there oftentimes is confusion on what their insurance coverage is. So I can tell you if you've got that red, white, and blue card, that's your golden ticket, Heather. So
Yeah, I can already guess why, but why don't, since you're the expert here, explain why it's important that it's only for those with traditional Medicare as opposed to what we're seeing a lot more, the Medicare advantages, the Humana and the United and the different MA programs, as they call them, Medicare Advantage. Why does it need to be traditional Medicare? And then I'll guess.
Go ahead, Risa.
Well, I think the bottom line is that this is a Medicare 8-year demonstration project, right? So they are looking to collect data, and they're looking to collect data not only for the person with dementia, but quite frankly, about the caregivers. So part of our assessment is collecting information if there is a caregiver about that caregiver, because we are trying to learn about the impact of being a caregiver. That's one of the things Medicare is looking at. So it is probably easier to get data when you are dealing with traditional Medicare, because otherwise you would have to be extracting and getting data sharing from the other Medicare Advantage programs. So at least at the beginning, and again, it's an 8-year program, so we don't know what could or might change, but at this point, that is probably the greatest limitation because of the considerable percentage of people that have Medicare Advantage plans, and that is a barrier to participating in Guide.
I had a completely different theory that was
What
super
was
helpful,
yours?
that I will tell you
I
mine,
want to know yours.
and we won't geek out too much on this. So because Medicare Advantage provides care and does a slightly different payment model of they get a certain amount of money per member per month, things like that. There's a bunch of them that provide additional preventive services. Doesn't mean they provide more services when you're sick, but there a lot of them put a different emphasis on prevention. And so as part of those plans, you do have in a way type of care coordinators. You see those commercials, oh, a nurse called me and asked if I wanted to get set up. So they bundle programs in a slightly different way, and then address, so they address prevention slightly different and sickness slightly different. And they a number of them already have care managers. So in terms of, here's a real geeky research term, in terms of the integrity of the research design for this pilot, you need everyone to be starting and being able to do the same framework. And some of these programs already have different components, so you wouldn't really be able to study apples to apples and apples to oranges. That was my theory, having nothing to do with data.
Well, but ultimately it
What?
comes back
Nobody's
to
here to disagree.
data, right? I
Sorry?
mean, it comes back to data. I mean, if somebody was already receiving some services, we could argue that it would impact their information, their
Yes.
experience.
Well, and at the end of the day, these are payment models. And so they're trying to figure out what to pay for and what has benefit. And so I did do a little bit of stalking. Thank you, Laura. You had sent some information about the guide program, and then I went on the website. And I think it's a good time to talk about it. When you talk about, we could say data, but the bigger thing is what the impact is, or what the objectives, or what the goals are. And I saw that there, and you've talked about it, I saw there were three goals of the program, and tell me if this is right. So to improve quality of life for people living with dementia, reduce strain on their caregivers, and help people living with dementia remain in their homes. Those were the three, like three key things from the flyer. Would you say those are some of the key things? I'm sure there's other things like healthcare utilization, like going to the hospital, but
Yes, absolutely. Those are the three primary goals. And I just want to touch again on the fact that even though it says helping people remain in their homes, homes could be the assisted living facility, the memory care facility.
so helpful, because again, I did not know that. That was,
Yeah.
and I looked at this a bunch of times. So thank you for clarifying that. So then, in terms of, so the people who are eligible, and let me know if I took us on a tangent before you were able to talk about eligibility, because the number one thing, you have to have traditional Medicare. Any, and then do you have to be in a, like, do you have to be eligible for hospice? Does your disease progression have to be at a certain place? Like, what else makes you eligible?
So that's the other thing is this program d isn't specific to a person in a specific stage of dementia. We're dealing with individuals that are at all various stages. Some of them are very high functioning, some of them are in the later stages. But you know, the qualifying criteria to be eligible to participate in GUIDE is that traditional Medicare is the primary payer. They also have to have a clinical diagnosis of dementia or a cognitive impairment. And then they cannot be on hospice. However, as you know, we were talking earlier, this is a degenerative disease. And so part of my role as a care navigator is to help identify when things are starting to trend downward, if you will. And so, if it comes to a point where the individual has progressed to hospice status, then they're removed from the guide program because the guide program is still focused on doing curative treatments, whereas hospice is not.
Sure. And so it doesn't mean they won't get services. They'll just get services in a different way through a different program.
Exactly.
So,
And also, people can't be going to a PACE program, an all-inclusive care
yes.
for the elderly. So,
I could have
not
a show on the
hospice.
PACE program. Okay. So, yeah. So basically, if you're doing another Medicare slash Medicare
Right.
Medicaid
Or,
program that provides care coordination.
live in a skilled facility. So, memory care, assisted living, independent living, all good. But if somebody is already in a skilled nursing facility, then they do not qualify for guide because they've progressed past the point that guide is trying to see, can we prevent or slow down that admission to that skilled facility?
I get it. So before me and all the listeners bombard you, because I have a question about your capacity, because is it something, and I literally am in our local assisted living and memory cares multiple times a week. Is it something that you go and say, look, if you have anyone, if they're in memory care, they have a diagnosis of dementia, any one of your residents who are on traditional Medicaid or who have traditional Medicare are potentially eligible for this. And there's a lot of people there. Like, do you have the capacity? Maybe I should just ask in general, what's the capacity for how many people you can help with this?
So currently, Medicare has goals for each organization, and by the end of our first year, which would be July 2025, Medicare would like each organization to have 200 people aligned to the program. Now, currently, AthoraCare is sitting around 100 people on our caseloads total. However, there again, we've lost since the launch of the program last July, we've lost several, well, closer to 20 people that have been aligned to guide because their disease has progressed to the hospice level, so they've been removed from the program.
Oh, we can talk afterwards. I'm already thinking about all these ways to have. I mean, are you actively recruiting since you're looking to have anywhere from 100 to 120 more? If I did that math, we should talk afterwards. I'm already, but.
Always. Goals aside, we're in this not necessarily to make money. It's all about helping reach the people that need that extra support. So,
Sure.
we're going to keep, pedal to the metal in terms of reaching families, whether they're in, a facility or at home. And continue to seek out other people that could benefit from this program.
And we only have about 5 minutes left, but I don't know if this is a double negative. I don't see why people wouldn't do this. Like, this just seems like a value add. It's no cost to the individual, right? There's funding coming in to support this. It just brings additional services and support. Is why wouldn't someone do this if they're eligible? And assuming they've learned about it. So, right, we have a lot of situations where people don't realize they're eligible for something, but maybe that's a weird question. Why wouldn't someone do it? But is there, do you ever hit resistance?
There are times, sure. And typically it's a situation where the caregiver is well versed in the disease. They've been dealing with this for quite a while, and they're comfortable with managing it, at that point in time. We certainly do have instances where people decide they don't want to participate in the program, and then this extra support. And the one thing that we did not touch on, Heather, that is a big selling point for a lot of individuals is the respite care benefit that is part of this program. So after we do our series of assessments, individuals that are aligned to higher tier levels, meaning tiers two and three of the guide program, they are eligible to receive respite care for up to $2,500 of private pay, where essentially Medicare will pay for the respite services, whether that's at an individual's home, at an adult day facility. Because the reality is paying out of pocket for a private caregiver
Oh,
is it's insane.
all right. Well, so we have 2 minutes left, and my internet I think is starting to go weird. So I feel like it's all coming together. I do want you to be able to do a shout out for like your website and the counties you're working in, because you are here in Orange County. How can people find out more in case my internet goes out in the next minute? How can people find out more?
Anyone who's interested in learning more should definitely call our integrated health services department that Guide falls under. That number is 336-621-7575. And there's also our website they can find more information on, which is www.authoricare.org.
Okay, and I'll be sure when I post this or when Marilyn posts this, I'll put the www.authoricare.org. So I want to give you each another minute left. What did I not ask about? What did you want to share that you'd be like, oh, I meant to tell the listeners this? Risa, I'll let you go first.
I think the one thing I want to emphasize is that Guide is fabulous and not everybody qualifies. And if you're listening and you say, oh, I have Medicare Advantage, there's no reason for me to call, please still reach out to us. There could be other programs, other ways that we can support. And so we want to have that opportunity. So you might not qualify for Guide, but there might be another way that we can offer alleviation of stress and suffering, and just reach out to us and let us see how and if we can be helpful.
Thank you. I
Absolutely.
love that, and for sharing that. Laura, your final thoughts for us.
Yeah, Risa took the words out of my mouth. I'm constantly telling people, even if you do not have traditional Medicare, still reach out to us because, as we've discussed, AthoraCare provides an array of wonderful services. And while your insurance coverage may not make you eligible for Guide, we do provide other services that you may be eligible for that your insurance would cover. So, still reach out. We're here to be a support for everyone. AthoraCare is across 12 different counties currently. Even though our home offices are in Greensboro and Burlington, we have sort of a wide reach. So, definitely give us a call and we'll see how we can help.
And if anybody wants somebody to come to talk about the Guide program or any of our services, just send us an email, give us a call, and you can have Laura, myself, or Cheryl Wink. We'll set up to have somebody come in and talk about Guide or any other services.
I'm so glad you said that. And look, I got a twofer out of Laura and would love to have you. And then Risa, now a twofer for you. Now you're returning guest to the Aging Well Together show. Laura, you're gonna have to come in and see me in the studio when things are warmer and I have a little Risa knows you, there's a little thank you present for you when I see you in person. But really, Laura Foy and Risa Hanau, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show. But more importantly, thank you for everything that you are doing for our individuals and their families and our community. It is so heartfelt, and you are the most wonderful people to be providing these services. Thank you. My other quick thank you to, of course, always WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro for hosting our show, the Orange County Department on Aging for sponsoring our show, and for the listeners who engage in our show, both listening us online and listening to our podcast. We so appreciate it. And so, with that, I need to end the show and tell everyone stay warm, stay safe, and join us again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.